Welcome back, Morgan Moses and Vice President Aaron Rodgers. Is it one step closer to happening? And Thomas Morstead is back, which we're all happy about. I'm Glenn Naughton with Jet Nation Radio, jetnation.com. Be sure to log into jetnation.com where you can register and become a part of what is the most active Jets message board on the web. We had to put a stop on the pre-show chat. We were all going crazy doing an entire show on Aaron Rodgers before we went live. And I thought, rather than have to repeat all this in a few minutes, let's jump on. Let's talk about it. So the latest, of course, for those of you listening in, you heard yesterday what was going on. Now there are, since Aaron Rodgers, even though he's not officially in the world of politics, the media is treating him as though he is. So the hit pieces start today. A news outlet put out a story that he's a Sandy Hook conspiracy theorist. And these are the things you'll have to live with once your name is in politics. But Chris Schubert, Dylan Terriman, and I were just talking about this. First of all, guys, how we doing? Second of all, Chris, go ahead and share your thought, because I thought you made a really good point about the concern itself that this is being reported.
So, and I will just tout my background for a second here, because I think it's important. I have a journalism background, but my minor is in political science. I have a pretty good feel for these types of things. I pay attention very closely to these types of things. The fact that CNN, less than 24 hours after the leaked story to the New York Times that Aaron Rodgers was one of the two VP picks of RFK Jr. Again, not a sentence I ever thought I would say out loud on a sports podcast about the New York Jets, but here we are. So we're just going to do this on the show today. And I do not want to get into politics with people in the comments. I'm not doing it. So if you want to put those comments in there, fine. I'm not engaging. It's not happening. But the fact that less than 24 hours after that happened, CNN, one of the top media entities in news and politics, is putting out a story discussing Aaron Rodgers' beliefs or something he said to a different reporter about conspiracy theories that he has, tells me somebody at CNN, somebody on the CNN staff, somebody in politics thinks that this is a big deal. You don't run a story on a potential VP pick if you don't think he's a potential VP pick. So to me, this lends even more credence, because I've had a bunch of people ask me today, because a lot of people live in just a sports bubble, right? I tend to live in both bubbles. It's just my background, and I love both fields. But I had some people ask me today, is this just in the sports world? Like, because we're sports people, is this a big deal? Or is the national, like, political media picking up on this? And the point I said to this person is, every leak at this point is from a political reporter talking about the validity of this. You have a political reporter for NBC showing that the Kennedy team is going to make the announcement in Northern California, in Oakland, and pointed out, where did Aaron Rodgers go to school? Northern California. Like, that's not a sports journalist pointing that out. That's a political reporter pointing that out. You have CNN doing stories on this. The political world is taking this seriously. They are taking this at face value. I think it is time that, as Jets fans, we take this at a little bit more face value, because I see a lot of people talking about this. A lot of people saying, oh, it's not going to happen. Oh, not. You have to take this seriously for two reasons. The political media is taking it seriously, and it's Aaron Rodgers. So everything else goes out the window at this point.
Yeah, okay, so I'm going to fess up. I'm guilty of saying it's not going to happen and being slightly delusional, but I understand all your points, Chris. It is Aaron Rodgers, one of the most, like, I don't know, polarizing people in all of sports right now. I mean, just for the past, I don't know, 4 years, it feels like. So you have to, you know, give merit where there could be some. Like, this isn't a situation where it's like, oh, this is all smoke, there's no fire. Like, we've heard what he says. Like, we know he does not have all world opinions. I tweeted that out about an hour ago. I don't want to have discussions about anything he talks about other than football, because I don't agree with a lot of the things he says. But yeah, you have to say that there's a greater than zero chance that this might happen. I don't know. I don't want to think about it when we're trying to think about so many other things. But just two months ago, maybe somebody said that there shouldn't be distractions in our building. And this is a distraction that is keeping me from talking about football with my friends instead of talking about politics and all this crap. So it's unfortunate, but yeah, you got to take it a little seriously, knowing that all these people are coming out from non-sports outlets and talking about it for sure.
Yeah, and that's something I wanted to mention because I screwed up yesterday. It's not a huge deal, but I hate when people get stuff like super wrong and then don't acknowledge it. I talked yesterday about this, did a solo and talked about those Rodgers comments. We need to get all the distractions out. And I played that back in my head, and I could have sworn he said, you know, when we get back here, this stuff needs to leave the building. It was, he didn't say that. He kind of said, he said what everyone has been accusing him of saying, like, we need to get the distractions out, blah, blah, blah. But there was never, I had kind of implied that he was saying this has to, you know, we're hitting the reset button once we get back here after the offseason. And he didn't say it that way. Now, that being said, I think he meant it that way. I don't think Aaron Rodgers meant every single moment for the rest of our lives until we retire has to be spent on being a better football team. Like, of course, people are going to do other stuff and pursue interests. Vice president's a little bit different than pursuing another interest.
Take the validity of him potential. Like, I know everyone's joking, oh, Vice President Aaron Rodgers. Like, it's statistically not in it is not a statistical favorite that RFK is going to win the presidential election. And we don't, you know, I don't have the CNN big board behind me where I can push the buttons and show you all the states and break it down for you. I'm not going to do that.
North Carolina.
Right. I'm not going to do that. But what I am going to say, and I said this behind the scenes, and I strongly believe it. So I will say it here and we can have this conversation. Aaron Rodgers has shown that he, and I don't mean this as a knock, he has shown interest in things beyond football, right? He has dipped his toe in the political waters and into that type of conversation when it came to the COVID vaccine, when it came to RFK, when he was on Joe Rogan's podcast, all sorts of different stuff, right? He has shown a propensity to be involved in this, and he's got a big ego. I can see the allure of being a part of what could potentially be the most impactful and the most successful third-party run in American political history. I can see that being alluring to a guy like Aaron Rodgers. And if it's with somebody that he admires as much as RFK, I think this is very much a realistic possibility. Now, that being said, let's say it's not a realistic possibility. Let's live in Dylan's world for a minute where he doesn't think that this is, he thinks it's greater than zero. I think we're past the 50% mark at this point. Ooh. But let's say for a second.
Real quick, Dylan, where are you at percentage-wise?
Five.
Okay.
Five's way too low. Five's way too low.
I probably woke up this morning at 10, but now seeing that they're already starting a smear campaign, I'm like, ooh.
This guy worked too damn hard last offseason to get into shape, to come in jacked.
This is vice presidency!
Okay, so Chris was talking about the allure of the third party. What about the allure of bringing a Lombardi to New York, guys? Come on. They don't equal.
You
want to try to fix, you know, what you believe is a broken country. Like, listen, I love football, but there are one or two jobs that are more important than the quarterback. But sorry,
And he could feel. Listen, when he said, you know, that he plans on playing for a couple more years, and you know, he works so hard, things can change. New opportunities can present themselves. Remember, he went into the darkness retreat 90% retired and came out of the darkness retreat wanting to play football again. So that he's already shown an ability to change his mind. But let's say this is 100% not happening. It's still a distraction that's not going to go away, because if there's one thing I know about the guy who wears number 8 for the New York Jets, is the next opportunity he can, he's going to go after the media, he's going to go after all these reporters, and it's just the Aaron Rodgers cycle that we spent weeks and weeks and weeks talking about on this show constantly when he would go on McAfee is going to rear its ugly head, whether or not he is the VP pick or not. Again, the fact that this is a podcast conversation that we are having in 2024 is baffling to me, but here we are.
Yep, we've spent almost 10 minutes talking about non-football things, and it's kind of just.
This is football.
No, technically it is.
If he is running for vice president of the United States, how is he going to campaign and also be quarterback for the New York Jets? Because I said this to you guys in the pre-show. This is the one guy that thinks he can do two jobs at a high level, run for vice president and play quarterback for the New York Jets. And he's going to try to do both. And the moment they lose a game, the moment they get blown out because he doesn't play well, it's just gonna come from everywhere. This is a distraction that this team didn't need. And you know what? The fact that 24 hours later, he has not, and listen, I don't care if it's true or not, the fact that he has not come out and said, this is absolutely not true, I'm the quarterback of the New York Jets, shame on Aaron Rodgers. Absolute shame. It tells me that he has got bigger priorities than being quarterback for the New York Jets. It's absurd. You don't want to be quarterback. You want to run for VP. That's fine. More power to you. But you need to go to the front office and say, I'm doing something that I feel is a higher calling that I feel I need to do that's more important than football, and go do that and allow Joe Douglas to trade for Justin Fields or something. But the fact that you're going to sit on the fence and potentially try to do both is a disservice to everybody involved.
And the thing go ahead, Dylan. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I just hope that we wake up on March 27th, the day after this decision is supposed to be made, and we wake up and we could just get back to actual just football. Like, that's my hope. And like you said, I'm not going 50%. 5% is probably low. 10% is probably where I should be, like with Glenn. But I don't know. It's just, it's so tough. Like,
I don't know if you guys saw this. Where are you seeing this, Paulie?
He tweeted a comment. Yeah, he tweeted a comment. Okay. He tweeted a comment that said, you know, oh, maybe this, after the story broke yesterday, he goes, oh, maybe this is why Aaron's not responding to any of my text message. I didn't take it as he was upset. I took it more of like it was an in-jest comment from Sauce, because we know if there's one thing Sauce loves to do, he loves to tweet, loves to share his thoughts out there. And so I took it as more of a just him having fun with it. But I'll tell you guys, there's so much smoke to this. The Jets were talking to quarterbacks at the combine.
That was going to be my next point.
They're not really splashing in free agency. They're making some great moves, and I'm sure at some point over the course of the next 50 minutes, we'll potentially get to them. But they're making some moves in free agency, but they're not making the big splash that we thought. You saw the story from Connor Hughes kind of laying the groundwork of, don't expect Joe Douglas to spend big in free agency. He's going to take it the way he always has taken it. And they signed Tyrod Taylor to a 2-year contract. Like, there's all of these things that point to maybe the Jets know a little bit more than we all do at this point.
Yeah, I understand. I understand teams do due diligence, and I understand information gathering and creating smoke screens of who you're going to take and who you're not. If this isn't a thing, A, there's zero chance the Jets are taking a quarterback, and B, I don't think this is the year, given the situation the Jets are in, to go to Mobile and waste 3 or 4 of your interviews with quarterbacks if you're not taking one. Like, you need to be talking to the guys you might actually take in a year when you've got to win now. I was, again, understanding teams talk to guys they're not taking. I was beside myself when I saw these tweets, the quarterbacks the Jets were talking to. I was like, what the hell are they doing right now?
They talked to Jaden Daniels.
For that.
Yep.
Jaden Daniels, who's probably going to be a top five pick.
Yep.
They talked to him. They sat down with him.
And whoever the quarterback is for the Jets this year. Morgan Moses. Well, go ahead. Chris has something else he wants to say.
Here's the thing that bothers me about this. Because no matter, again, like I said, no matter if this is true or not, and listen, it's if Aaron Rodgers wants to accuse me of being a part of the media that has taken this story and ran with it, I'm sorry. The New York Times is a very reputable source that has said you are one of the VP picks. Sorry, I didn't get it from some random obscure source on the internet. You've got CNN writing stories about it. You have other political reporters talking about this. This is a story. The fact that Jets fans and other people in Jets media are not discussing this and they won't talk about it, I'm sorry, this is a story. This is a legit story. Now, again, It might not happen. It might not turn into anything. That's fine. It is still going to be a distraction because he hasn't said anything. So we're going to have to get a comment from him about this at some point. And guess what? If a couple weeks pass and RFK picks somebody else and it's not Aaron Rodgers, they're still going to ask him about it. And here we go. We just start the cycle all over again. The New York Jets are not in a position to have this level of distraction. I'm sorry. And I come into this with a bias. I did not want Aaron Rodgers in the first place. But there are things here that this team needs to accomplish over the next couple of weeks and months in order to potentially save people's jobs. And Aaron Rodgers is either strongly considering being VP or actively not denying a rumor that he knows is false. And that is a disservice to Joe Douglas. It's a disservice to Robert Saleh. It's a disservice to Nathaniel Hackett, his best bud. Somebody he really is his best bud, who's probably got his job on the line right now. His future in football is on the line. And you can't come out and address this one way or the other. I'm sorry. It is ridiculous. Now, the Jets deserve this. They signed up for this. But this is absurd.
So, to that point, do you think that he... but
I get your point. Go ahead, Dylan.
Do you think he would risk all of that for his own football career also? Because, like, say he did go out and try this and he did leave the Jets high and dry, like, he's done. Nobody's going to pick him up again to play football, right? Like, so I feel like everybody...
I mean, the Jets were the only team that wanted him to begin with. So if he does that to them, then yeah. But again, I mean, you know what? The Jets would probably take him back if we're being honest.
Can you put up Dano's first comment here?
Which one,
please? The question that he asked, because I think this is very important.
VP.
This one, a lot.
Oh, a lot.
Campaigning is a 24/7, 365 round the clock job. You are in city after city after city. Let me add to it. And again, I'm sorry, we're going to get political here. You have a candidate who is trying very hard to get on the ballot in all 50 states so that people who support him want to vote for the man. That requires a lot of work. That requires a lot of signatures. That requires grassroots effort, door to door, getting people to sign petitions. There's a lot of work that goes into that. So if Aaron Rodgers is going to do this, guess what? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, he is at a different city doing a different campaign speech. Like, this is not something that you can just do passively.
And if you can't Zoom meeting these things,
right? You can't just, yeah, you can't just appear on a screen like the three of us do for the podcast and campaign speech. You have to shake hands. You have to talk to people. Yeah. Like this, there's a lot of work to do here. So if he is seriously considering this, and again, the report says that he did not reject the overture, tells me that he's strongly considering it. And if he does, he has to walk away from football. I'm sorry. I'll tell you right now, Woody Johnson, Joe Douglas, Robert Saleh, grow the F up. If he chooses to do this, then you tell him he can't play quarterback for your football team. Grow the F up and tell him.
Yeah, I see. If anybody would try to do both, it's him. But I think even Aaron would understand this is a higher calling. And because I'm doing this, he can't possibly expect to be able to do that and play quarterback on Sundays. Like, I don't see him doing that. No. Even if he thought he could. But let's hope we don't get to that point. Let's move on to the football portion.
Morgan Moses.
Secretary of Defense, the
Morgan
offensive
Moses.
Line.
Morgan Moses.
Well, they can't be. They got to be. I said this
We're
yesterday.
Defending Aaron.
No matter if president. Rodgers is under center week one, the O-line has to show up dressed as the Secret Service. They got to have the earpieces, the shades.
No.
Did you
no.
see the Ryan
Granted up the tunnel won. With Aaron behind them. They got to do it.
No, they won seven games last year, and they were a disgrace as a franchise. If they do
but
that,
this is
I'm done.
Be new O-line. You gotta have some fun.
Did you see the Ryan Clark tweet? Is that why you said Secret Service?
No, I tweeted that yesterday.
Oh, Ryan Clark said
I tweeted last night that I would not be able to put into words how disappointed I will be if the O-line is not dressed as the Secret Service for week one coming up the tunnel.
What is this football team that we cover? What
Ryan Clark said
team?
that they should just let him do it because the Secret Service will cover him better than the O-line will. So I thought that's where you were playing off of.
No, Ryan Clark stole it from me. So real quick, Morgan Moses is back. The Jets swap fourths. They move down, 22 spots in the fourth round, and they give up a 6 to bring back Morgan Moses, who they let go 2 years ago. As is the case with everybody, he played much better when he left. He's been gone for a couple years. Now he's back. The Jets have solidified right tackle by bringing in John Simpson. You've solidified left guard. We talked, guys. We thought maybe AVT would move to right tackle if they added a couple of guards. They've now added a right tackle. They've added a left guard. That means the only two spots left, guys, right guard and left tackle. Where do you think AVT ends up? And are you – because I said before, right? I think AVT's destination will be dependent on what they were able to add. With a weak tackle market, could the Jets go to AVT and say, it's probably your worst position, but we want you to play left tackle because we think you'll be adequate and we're happy with that?
So first off, I want to say just 2 weeks ago on the 28th of February, we all gave our predictions on where AVT was going to play. You two said right tackle.
Yes.
That's no longer a thing. I said left guard. No longer a thing. So
that's why we get the big bucks.
Do we want to change our answers here to this one?
Sidebar. Dylan, I not to make a joke of a morbid situation, but I thought about what a horrible jinx I am. It's a Senior Bowl story, so I'm going to tell it.
I got so scared. I was like, what the heck did I do?
I thought, is there a bigger jinx in the world than me? Me and Dylan are sitting at the Senior Bowl, right? And, you know, they got the music playing in the background and there's some DMX comes on. And I forget what song it was, Where the Hood At Maybe, I forget, whatever it was. And I was like, I was always a rock guy, a metal guy as a kid. But like a couple years ago, I started, you know, dipping my toe into some of the rap genre because I do love the wordplay and the vocabulary and I love all that. And I really started getting to DMX. I said, man, I started listening to DMX a whole lot. And as I sort of thought to myself one day, I got to listen to more of this guy. He dies 2 weeks later. And I thought, Jesus, that's really weird. I just said how much I like this guy. And then what did I say to you while we were out that night, Dylan? What did I tell you? Who did I tell you I started listening to two weeks ago that you should start listening to?
Yeah. Oh, shoot. I'm blanking on his name, but he literally died. Toby Keith, and he died the day we came home from Mobile.
I said, dude, Toby Keith is really good. I'm liking his stuff. He's got some really good songs.
Crazy.
And I thought, shit, that's two guys in a span of a week. Terrible jinx. Musicians, beware if I take
Don't talk music with Glenn.
Yeah, please don't.
I won't compliment anyone's podcasts. It was pretty bizarre. Pretty bizarre. So a little bit of a tangent, but I thought about that. I was like, I got to share that one.
No, that's fine. That is funny. All right. Are we changing our answers here, folks? You guys had right tackle.
Yeah, he's a starting right guard for the New York Jets in 2024. He's the starting right guard.
Starting right guard. Yeah. Left tackle. Glenn is left tackle, and no, I'm going to be right guard.
I'm saying right guard or left tackle.
He's picking those are only two spots we got.
Yeah, that's why he's picking.
There you go.
All right.
Yeah, it's got to be right guard. It's got to be.
It's got to be right guard, right? It's got
to
be.
It has to be right guard, but
because
but again,
then you just have more options in the draft. You have Fatanu. I mean, Fuaga, if they think he could flip over, I don't really think he can. Then you have Tyron Smith, Bakhtiari. You know, you have more options at left tackle than you do right guard. So I definitely think AVT to right guard should be the spot.
I think it's going to be a tough sell. I can't imagine Joe Douglas, after the year he just went through, signing an injury-prone left tackle to be his starter. Like, that would be just – I like Joe Douglas. I defend him all I can, but I'll call him out for giving Kinlaw $7 million, which I thought was insane. This is another guy who spent a ton of time on IR. Hasn't been productive as a pro, but apparently they're going to start him. Like, you're not paying him $7 million to back up. I don't think we talk enough about how Robert Saleh has to have everyone who ever played for the 49ers and becomes a free agent.
Or the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, they're Ravens.
That's Joe. That's Joe.
Joe loves
the Ravens. Oh, he said Saleh, sorry.
Yeah, Joe loves the Ravens, Saleh loves the Niners, and
yep.
Well, and you know, Ulbrich from it. So what the corner who was played for the Niners and the Falcons, he was a lock who they signed the other day. The nickel. Right. So, yeah, but all in all, how do you like the offensive line move so far?
I like Morgan Moses as my number one move we've made so far. I think it's 10 total moves we've made. I've broke it down into 7 different rankings. Morgan Moses is number one. John Simpson is number 3. Spoiler, Chuck Clark is number 2. All Ravens associates are my top 3. I like it. I mean, 80% of the line on paper is figured out for week 1. Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen for the whole 17. AVT has some issues. Yeah, I see Alon's comment there. That's great. To me, I think that's great. I mean,
my top tackle in the draft is your starting left tackle. That doesn't suck.
Absolute 180, I think, that Twitter and most of Jets fans in general have done from yesterday to today. I mean, we're kind of back on the upswing now, and that's why the Aaron Rodgers stuff was such a shitty distraction. But I think we're on the upswing now with this offensive line. Like I said, 80% of it's in play. Morgan Moses is great. Breece Hall already approves. And if Breece Hall approves something, I'm
John
on board
Franklin
with
Myers,
it.
Quinn Williams, they've all come out. Yeah. Say, you know, great news. Great to see it.
I've seen this a lot. I think it was Connor Rogers was spearheading this, but talking about going to the gap scheme runs instead of zone scheme runs. And I think that that's huge. I feel like we need some ass kickers up front, some body movers. People are going to throw you out of the club. So that doesn't necessarily relate to Fashanu as we kind of transition into the draft talk. But if you have 4 ass kickers and a top flight pass protector as a young rookie left tackle, I think you're doing it right. So I think the Jets are, you know, Joe Douglas was asleep behind the wheel for the first day and a half of free agency, but I really think he's made some quality moves. Kinlaw was a bit of an overpay. We'll get into him, but offensive line wise, I'm very excited.
Yeah, I was initially concerned at the approach that Joe was taking in free agency because we saw a lot of the top guards and tackles come off the board, and it didn't seem like the Jets were really kind of sniffing around for any of those players. But a lot of big-dollar contracts were being given out, right? Robert Hunt got 5 years, $100 million. Like, the Jets were never going to be in at that price tag. If there's anything I know about Joe Douglas, it's that he's not going to pay that kind of money, $20 million a year, for an offensive lineman. But what he did do was he got creative, right? He saw some potential opportunities to make the offensive line better without spending a ton of dollars, right? You go out and you get a guy in Simpson. Now, I will tell you, if there's a concern I have along this offensive line, it's you went out and got a kid who's 26 years old, who had a bunch of penalties last year, and you're asking him to be coached up. You're asking this coaching staff with Keith Carter to get the most out of a player. That's a concern for me. I'm sorry, and I said this to you guys when the move happened. He's a nice player, and if you turn on the tape, you see a lot of great flashes. You see some bad stuff too, and so you have to look at coaching and say, can you coach this out of a 26-year-old? I don't trust Keith Carter to do that. I just don't. I'm sorry. Until he proves me wrong, I just don't. And so that's a problem. Morgan Moses, professional. Morgan Moses, veteran player. guy that hasn't been hurt. He's a little bit older, so your concern is that you know it's an older player, but you know what you're getting from him. And yeah, they are changing his scheme up offensively, guys. They are going to go to gap run. They are going to pull these guards, AVT, Simpson. They're going to pull. They're going to have tackle pull, and they're just going to let these guys get out in space, and they're going to just take these linebackers and throw them out of the club. You're telling me AVT working downhill on a guy? Good luck. You're going to be moved out of the way. You are no longer part of the play. And so that is what this team is trying to accomplish. Now, maybe that changes how they view the tackle position in the draft. I still, sitting here today, think they have to get Tyron Smith. And I still think it's on the table. They are able to maneuver some contracts around to create some cap space. It's not like Tyron Smith's got a bunch of offers right now that we know of, right? It's pretty quiet in that capacity. Now, maybe it's because there's a bunch of teams and he's going back and forth, but he didn't sign a big deal like all these other offensive linemen did because he's an older player that's got an injury history. But if you get Tyron Smith and your offensive line left to right is Tyron Smith, Simpson, Tippmann, AVT, Morgan Moses. You know what that does, guys? We talked about this a couple of weeks ago ahead of free agency. It opens up opportunities. You can sign David Bakhtiari. Go ahead, sign Aaron's friend. You got a swing tackle now. You're not asking him to be your starting left tackle, but you bring in a guy who's healthy, is an all-pro. You go out and get one more depth guard on day two, day three of the draft. Okay, now I've got some help. Tippmann can slide out. I can move some pieces around if some guys get hurt. Now, all of a sudden, you've got some depth. You've built it out. But more importantly, what it does is if you get Tyron Smith with the number 10 pick, you can just sit back, kick your feet up, and just see how the board plays out.
Let if the draft come to you.
And that is the best place for a Joe Douglas-led organization to be. That is where he thrives. And so to me, Tyron Smith is the last piece of this puzzle. If they do that, guys, they have solved a major problem, something that I didn't think they were going to be able to solve. They at least, in my mind, put their best foot forward to changing this offensive line. They didn't go out and sign, you know, a bunch of retread older players. I know Morgan Moses is a little older, but Simpson, a younger player that they believe they can get the most out of. They're putting AVT at his best position at right guard. Joe Tippmann's a player that we all believed in coming out of the draft and was really good in his rookie season at center. They are putting their best foot forward to sign off on 3.5 offensive linemen that I thought they needed to get this offseason. Now, they still need a wide receiver. That's still a problem. Mike Williams is still available. They want to talk to him, see what he's up to right now. But yeah, I think so far you have to say that this is a job well done. This is an identity shift for this team on an offensive line. They are going to get guys that are just going to just blow it up. And I love that. I love the physicality that they are bringing in. And so you got to give credit where credit is due. I didn't think they were going to be able to pull it off to where I would be happy. But so far, so good. I hate that the left tackle spot's still open. But so far, Joe Douglas has shown that he's going to strike if a deal presents itself to him. So we'll give him some time.
Yeah, and just to piggyback off that real quick, I originally tweeted out that I thought Simpson was going to play right guard, and then the Schefter tweet said that he's going to start at left guard, and then I changed it, but I had him playing alongside Morgan Moses because we don't know who the left tackle is currently, and if it is a rookie, I'd feel a lot safer with Simpson next to Morgan Moses, a veteran who can help him and, you know, kind of cover up some of those warts a little bit, as opposed to being next to a rookie who's going to have his own warts. And then your left side is kind of, you know, iffy. So I thought they would flip AVT, but like you said, if they go get Tyron Smith and then they have two bookend veteran tackles, it really doesn't matter which guard spot he plays because he's going to play next to somebody who's going to elevate him. And to your point about Keith Carter, I think it is just that much more imperative to go get Tyron Smith because you need inside the locker room coaching. Like Tyron Smith, Morgan Moses, those are going to be your teachers. AVT, he's going to now have to be thrust into a teaching role. So like all these guys are going to have to help each other if the coaching staff falls short, and we pretty much feel like they're going to. So I think Tyron Smith is the answer. Or I mean, I'm Bakhtiari with another side piece, but yes. In that mold.
Tyron Smith, Morgan Moses is much better going into 2024 than Dwayne Brown and Mekhi Becton was going into 2023.
Absolutely.
It's unquestioned that it's better, that it's an upgrade. So look at it from that perspective. If they end up signing Tyron Smith and they go Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses, or let's say they take one of the tackles, and a bunch of people in the chat are talking about, you know, Fashanu or Alt, they get one of those guys. Rookie plus Morgan Moses is better than Dwayne Brown and Mekhi Becton. Like, it's an upgrade.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised. I still think Fashanu, I think Alt goes to Tennessee. And I get, listen, all this talk about five QBs, you're going to go in the top 10. In that case, someone
I can see four. I think the McCarthy smoke has definitely gotten to enough of a point where somebody's going to trade up in the top 10 to get McCarthy, but I can't see five. Five is really hard for me.
Minnesota move up for a quarterback.
And they got Darnold, right? So they probably feel comfortable giving Darnold some starts.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants just outright took McCarthy. Yep.
I was listening to this.
I think Chris did that mock draft 2 weeks ago with us, and he did McCarthy to the Giants. I really think that that could be a spot. He could sit for a year behind Daniel Jones if need be. I don't know. I see four, not five, though.
Yeah, it's going to get interesting.
But that helps us because, I mean, neighbors, all Fashanu. If we can guarantee even Brock Bowers, exactly.
Bowers
one of those
five.
Four.
Yeah. I got you, Glenn. Don't worry.
He's going five. I playfully throw him in the conversation, but I don't see him making it to 10.
I think 15 is his floor, but yeah, he's the odd one out. That's really hard to choose a spot.
Does New England go quarterback or Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Quarterback.
They just lost out on Ridley.
I need to see where Justin Fields goes before I'm comfortable having a quarterback conversation.
I need to see what happens there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this weird Justin Herbert rumor about Harbaugh wanting to just start over.
No.
I'm like, come on.
No.
I think Harbaugh is pumping up JJ McCarthy.
Harbaugh's crazy.
Somebody,
but he ain't that crazy.
So somebody trades up to five and they can keep some picks.
Did a guy with the first name of Tony write that story about Justin?
Honestly, I don't know. I didn't see. I heard it like through the grapevine of tweets and I was like, no, this is stupid.
Yeah, that's not happening. But Thomas Morstead back, right?
Oh, baby. Let's go. Let's
move
go.
Of the day. Move of the
2-year deal. 2-year deal. Morstead and Zuerlein both back. For next offseason, we don't have to worry about kicker or punter because that's been an ongoing thing for about a decade now. Is Bowers healthy? He wasn't on his pro day, but they like April 10th, I think. He's going to have a workout. Wild Wave wants to know.
No, just move on. Don't even acknowledge the comment. Yeah, it's funny. Nope. It's funny. And the person who said it knows what they did, but we are not going to acknowledge it.
Nope. Minnesota's going to jump the Giants. Could happen. I don't know. Going into a season with Sam Darnold as your QB1.
It's Minnesota, Vegas, and Denver all in that little cluster. Any of those three teams are going to be fighting to trade up.
Well, so Minnesota, Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Vegas, Gardner Minshew, Aiden O'Connell.
Okay.
What does Denver have right now? No, nothing, right? I didn't miss a move.
Not that I can think of.
So they are the team that you would kind of be like, are they going to trade for Justin Fields and we're all going to look dumb for not like thinking of it sooner? Like that feels like the spot. But I don't know. Everyone's like, oh, Vegas, Vegas, Vegas. Luke Getsy's the offensive coordinator. That was a disaster last year. They're not going to do that again. Getsy's not going to be like, oh, I got a new job. You know what? Justin Fields, bring him back. No, he's not going to do that.
That's like everyone that was saying, Zach to the Rams. It's like,
Mike LaFleur would quit. He would be like, I'm not doing this.
Yes.
Not
thank
doing
you.
This.
Thank you for that. Like, it's just, that's absurd. It's like, why put two people that clearly didn't work out in a new situation?
I've done it in times. I'm saying, oh, this player should go there. And so Dalton Reisner, someone corrected me last year when he was sitting out there floating around as a free agent. The Jets offensive line was falling apart. I was like, maybe they should get Reisner. He knows the system. He was in Denver with Hackett. And someone was like, yeah, he's the guy that started the brawl on the sideline. They got Hackett fired. I was like, okay, maybe not. Maybe not him then.
Probably not the best pick. Maybe that's why they didn't go after Cushenberry either. Who knows?
Someone made a great comment, though. They said, bring him in if he can get Hackett fired again.
No, brother.
It's a fair point.
Top of my list. Boom. Dalton Reisner, FA1.
So we talk about wide receivers?
That's what I was going to say. Got the punter and kicker locked up. Got Moses. Got the left guard. We've talked left tackle. Next big spot. Wide receiver, and I'm gonna now. Well, let's talk wide receiver first, and then I'm gonna throw a thought out there that isn't nothing groundbreaking, but I know some people's heads are gonna explode.
Are you running for VP?
Oh my goodness.
I've had what was the term they used? Secret conversations.
Okay,
private conversations.
The Jets have secretly offered to make me the QB1 if Aaron Rodgers runs for VP.
Wow, that's the best.
I mean, we don't have to confirm
news.
Anything. We can just throw out there, quiet, you know, secret conversations.
From left tackle to quarterback in a couple of days, Chris.
That's right. He was the left tackle like two days ago. In our group thread, we were discussing how the three of us would line up if the Jets needed us to play offensive line, and Glenn was our left tackle in that scenario. Can I start talking about the wide receivers? Because this has been very fascinating to me to see the way this market has broken down. It was quiet up until Calvin Ridley signed his 4-year, $92 million contract this afternoon, right? Nothing has happened. In fact, receivers have been added to the mix in terms of Mike Williams. Deontay Johnson was somebody that I thought made some sense for the New York Jets, but ultimately it didn't seem like they were even remotely interested in going after Deontay Johnson. So the trade market, I know T. Higgins has requested a trade, but if you will allow me the opportunity to explain why that's not going to happen for a variety of different reasons. One, the Bengals have to choose to trade T. Higgins. That's step number one. Step number two, they have to choose that they are interested in taking a package from another AFC team. Like they have Joe Burrow. They want to win. So they are not like that is another factor here. Number three, Joe Douglas and company have to give up the draft compensation for T. Higgins. And then thing number four, they have to then pay T. Higgins a massive contract extension. All of that adds up to me. The Jets are going to look elsewhere. They're not even going to go. They might call and see what it looks like, but I think there are going to be much better teams situated to call up Cincinnati. I'll give you another team that I think might be sniffing around at another wide receiver. Don't be surprised if Carolina takes another swing and gets somebody else. I know they got Deontay Johnson, but I think they're going to take a swing at somebody else as well. Jacksonville might also make the phone call. There's a lot of teams that make some sense. To me, Mike Williams, Hunter Renfrow, 1-2 for me right now in terms of free agents that I think make sense for the New York Jets and are available. Tyler Boyd does make some sense, but right now it is Mike Williams option one and Hunter Renfrow is option two for me right now.
Yeah, I'm going to go dreamer method and say Devontae Adams is the secret guy that hasn't been talked about that they're still going to end up trading to us, because I'm clutching at straws here, because where the hell is our wide receiver two going to come from at this point? Or you could just dream about Malik Nabers at 10. It's really tough. This free agent market is not that good. Hollywood Brown, Hunter Renfrow, another name. Like, it's just Tyler Boyd, you said. It's not that appetizing, and it got really dark really quick. I know we were pretty pessimistic about the offensive line, but wide receiver is definitely somewhere where I'm looking more is like, we need somebody, because I don't want to see Alan Lazard out there as wide receiver two, even in 11 personnel in general. I hope they find two guys, one in the draft, one in free agency, but I'm trying to find the available list, and it's not popping up in a good order to sort. But the
top guy, that was my question. That's what I was going to ask, that I know people aren't going to like. But are the Jets looking at what's available in free agency and comparing them to what Alan Lazard did the last time Aaron Rodgers was his quarterback and thinking, we've already got someone better than what's out there? He had 800 yards with Aaron two seasons ago. Let's just keep this guy. And again, my thing is, the reason I'm not a big fan of receiver at 10, you can get them all over the place. You know,
yeah.
Get yourself a second round pick, trade down from 10, get a second, and, you know, get somewhere in the top of the second round where you might get a Pearsall or a McConkie or something. There will be receivers who can, especially if you're talking wide receiver two, in an offense where you're building the O-line, the run game is going to be successful, your quarterback doesn't stink, then you can get by, and more than get by, with some of these rookies who you can get in the second, third round. And that's where I would use 10 on something else. The thought of taking a position where you can get like 20 of them and using your 10th pick for it, that drives me nuts.
You said Ricky Pearsall?
Yeah.
No.
Dylan thought I was going to do something else.
Yeah.
And I am going to do the thing that Dylan thought I was going to do. Shout out to my guy, Big Frank, who thinks that I'm a moron. Appreciate you for listening to the show, buddy. Appreciate you.
Listen.
Jesus.
I took a ton of that earlier. I said Renfrow to the Jets is a no-brainer. He would immediately become the second best receiver on the team.
Yes.
I had no idea how many people thought the Raiders were the gold standard for offense. The number of people who were like, couldn't get on the field for the Raiders. I'm like, yeah, right. And that's, I mean, to be honest, it's like saying couldn't get on the field for the Jets. Like, they don't have. Are we that high on Josh McDaniel now? Josh McDaniel all of a sudden is a guy to follow?
Big Frank, you're 100% right. Just sign Mike Williams. It is simple. That's what you do. Yes, that's option one.
Yeah, if he's going to sign, that's number one choice, Mike Williams. Yep. If he won't come to the Jets, then number two is Renfro, who really is going to be much cheaper. And then maybe three, maybe the Jets, like I said, you know, we don't have to like it, but they, what's that?
I want to throw two names out there because I don't think Hunter Renfro would be second for me. I think it would
All right, Justin Jefferson and Davante Adams.
No, no, no. Odell Beckham.
No, Allen Robinson. No, 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 and no. No to both. I'm out.
Injury-prone okay, locker room cancer.
The price tag is going to be significantly less than what it was last year.
Dylan, Allen Robinson
We know
is
that
washed.
They've explored the option. I'm not saying I'm doing this. If I had Woody's money, I would do – I'd like – Big Frank said, if I had access to Woody's bank account, Mike Williams would be the highest overpaid wide receiver on the Jets right now, just to secure him. But I'm just looking at the list. I mean, Curtis Samuel, Tyler Boyd, Hunter Renfro is 28. If Allen Robinson's 30, I mean, I'd rather pay Allen Robinson like $3 million.
Robinson's got so many more miles, though.
He does.
I wanted him a few years ago. I've always liked him, but I saw his name earlier today, and I just went.
I guess the point I'm trying to make is if you get a Renfro, a Robinson, a Samuel.
Because to me, Renfro, honestly, if I'm bringing Renfro in, it's like a let's take a look at him. Like I'm not done.
Right, you still need to add another body. That's kind of like another Odell Beckham. They're not going to add another body. That's where I was coming from.
For the amount of time he's going to miss, I am
sure. I mean, if you think about the injury aspect, yeah, but like
talent, that's the thing. I'm so done with guys. I mean, they can't get healthy guys to stay healthy. You know what I mean? They sign guys that haven't missed a game since Pee Wee League, and they walk in the door and they pop a knee, and it's like, what the hell is going on here?
I just want Big Frank to call me a moron now. Take the heat off.
Hey, no. You have to have some really good takes to be called a moron by somebody. You know, that's my brand here on the show. There's multiple people who don't like me. So,
I mean, okay, all right. Legitimate name here, Paris Campbell. I talked about him a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that's fine. That's a good one.
He's 26 years old. He's much younger than most of the other names at the top of the list.
Paris Campbell in years.
I mean, even DJ Chark, I feel like, is in that kind of realm. Like, I'd rather value
as a body. Sure, I've always
liked kind
DJ
of feel
Chark.
Like that's Renfro in but a sense. Unless you're really going to get something out of Renfro, like I don't know, it's hard
to say.
There's
guys you can bring in, but a lot of these guys we're mentioning are guys that you would bring in and then not change your plans. Like if you go get Bakhtiari, fine, pay him the league minimum, but you proceed as if he's not on the team because there's a good chance after week three or four he won't be. Chark is the same thing. Always liked Chark, liked him out of college. But, you know, big, explosive, big play type guy. He's always hurt. If you add him, fine. But don't count on him being there. So in terms of guys who will actually be there, again, Williams had some injuries, but I don't think he has the injury history some of these other guys have. So I would bring him in and address it in the early, middle rounds receiver. Not at 10, but later on, I would.
I think
Keenan Allen. Some rumors floating around that San Diego wants to dump some big money guys.
Well, that was why they cut Mike Williams, right? So before the day started today, they were not cap compliant.
Right.
So they had to get cap compliant, and it was Bosa, it was Mack, it was Williams, it was Allen that were being discussed. They cut Mike Williams. Keenan Allen ain't going anywhere. They are not going to then trade Keenan Allen and also lose Mike Williams. It's not happening. They're not walking into next season. And I need to remember my depth charts correctly. They're not walking into 2024 with Quentin Johnston as their top wide receiver option. Like Keenan Allen's not going anywhere. So that might have been an option 6 hours ago, but it's not an option now after they cut Mike Williams.
Yeah. I think what we've talked ourselves into is that there's not a really solidified wide receiver two out there anymore. And they're all just threes or fours. So you're going to have to do, like Glenn said, not divert from your original plan, even if you add one of these guys, which is an upsetting
Mike Williams
place
might
to
be a
be.
Two. Mike
okay,
Williams
I,
might be
I guess
a low
Mike, I'm not even like considering him because I feel like there's probably somebody who's going to offer him more money than the Jets want to. But yeah, I feel like he's the only legitimate option out there.
And one side note real quick, I was thinking about this, and I don't think this is, or I don't think it should be driving your off-season philosophy, but this could be important because once you lose Bryce Huff, the thought is, well, we might get a 3 or 4 for him unless we sign a big fish for $15, $20 million a year. If the Jets keep proceeding this way, that could be them. They could be getting that, which is why I don't know what you guys thought of it. You know, the report the other day, we can touch on that real quick. That Joe Douglas was getting offers for Bryce Huff and he wouldn't take an offer, and now he's let him walk out the door for nothing. My first thought was, man, that's a terrible move. But then I thought, well, I have no idea what teams are offering him. And if teams are offering Joe Douglas a 5 or a 6 or a 7, and he thinks, you know what, I think we're going to go to the playoffs. I think I'm going to be around next year. And I think I'm going to get a 3 or 4 for Bryce Huff in 2025. Why would I take a 6 from him in 2024?
All right. That was a lot of picks that you're going to have to repeat it for me, but
what?
I didn't hear what you said about the picks. I was confused with the picks. I got them.
Yeah, you threw a lot of numbers at me, and my brain was processing it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just saying, if you're Joe Douglas, the report came out that Joe Douglas was offered picks for Bryce Huff and didn't pull the trigger. Okay. And people were like, oh, my God, we're going to lose him for nothing. So my thought was, we don't know what he was being offered. If teams were calling the Jets and saying, Joe, we'll give you a 5 or a 6 for Bryce Huff, is Joe Douglas thinking,
oh, okay,
I'm going to get a 3 or a 4 for him next year?
Yes.
Why would I take a 5 or a 6 this year?
Now I'm on board. Yes. I thought, I was like confused as hell with the 5 and the 6. No, if that's what he was offered last year, which I mean, a team offering that is just silly for Bryce Huff. But yeah, no, then you have every right to say no. But if somebody was offering a two or a high three,
you should have taken
a 3
that
on a bad team that was projecting to have a high 3, like those are top 100 picks.
Right? We've talked about this. They didn't make any moves because they knew they weren't going anywhere. I mean, or at least if you didn't trade Bryce Huff because you were 4-3 and thought you might make the playoffs, I said this the other day, not trading for Ezra Cleveland is a bigger deal than not trading Bryce Huff. Because if you held on to Huff because you're trying to make the playoffs, but then you don't trade for guard, then that's a big screw up.
Yeah, it's one of the things we'll probably never know the actual truth of the whole Bryce Huff thing as far as that. But yeah, I mean, if somebody offered him a 2nd round pick last year, and he didn't pull the trigger, and he's hoping to get a 4th round pick, and maybe that's why they're not spending big in free agency because they don't want to.
Yeah, I don't think that's
why.
Like I said,
I don't think any of the conspiracy theories on why Joe Douglas or Woody Johnson are not spending money are not the reasons that I think they're not spending money. I genuinely think that they don't need to spend every dollar they have. And no,
Joe is very consistent. Joe has a philosophy, and despite the fact that the Titanic is sinking, he feels as if he's going to go down with his strategy.
He's just getting the band together to play while everybody's panicking.
and okay, you know what, Joe? More power to you. All of this chaos, you feel that strongly about your approach and how it's going to pan out. More power to you. But the fact that ultimately it does kind of have the feeling of, oh, just Aaron Rodgers is going to be back and everything's going to be okay. Like that part of it bothers me a little bit, but they have made moves that I've liked. So I'm not going to completely destroy
that's what I was going to say. If he feels like I believe in my process, I'm going to fix this damn O-line and we're going to make the playoffs. And if they do that, then more power to you. Like, but not making the big splashy move, which again, you know, we talked about it on the show. And I said, I think they're going to be shopping in the bargain bin for the most majority of free agency. I said one big fish at most. So far it's none. It may remain none. But if the O-line is better and Aaron Rodgers isn't in the damn White House and the Jets are going to the playoffs, then Joe Douglas was right.
I was listening to, I want to say it was Buffalo Jet Fan, shout out Buffalo, but he said, would you rather have Gabe Davis and Robert Hunt at the price tags they went for, or what the Jets have done, which is this BC tier of not spending a ton of money, but still getting a pretty quality guy? I mean, they found 2 starters and they spent, what, $9 million APY on John Simpson. And I think Morgan Moses is $5 million cap hit. So whatever John Simpson's number is, it's going to be under $9 million on the cap hit. So you're looking at 11, 12 million for 2 starting positions, and you basically moved down 22 spots in the 4th round and gave up a comp pick that you didn't even own 2-3 weeks ago. So I think that he's done a good job for being frugal and, you know, not, you know, falling asleep at the wheel. But it's tough to poo-poo all over it, but it's obviously we could see how so much more could have been done with the assets that he had.
Sure, but Big Frank says this in the chat. He says, I thought Douglas was going to be a little more aggressive. Now, in fairness, Big Frank, and I don't necessarily disagree with the point at large, but what if the Jets missed on right now? Would you have given Robert Hunt 5 years, $100 million? Would you have given Calvin Ridley 4 years, $92 million with 50 of it guaranteed? Like, what have the Jets missed on right now so far that you feel as if, if Joe was just a little bit more aggressive, he could have gotten it across the finish line? Because to me, I don't feel as if there's a player right now. Now, if Tyron Smith signs and the number doesn't bother me and it's not to the Jets, okay, different conversation. But you know what? There are a lot of ways to be aggressive. And Joe Douglas woke up today and found a new way to be aggressive. He swapped 4th round picks, added a 6, and said, I got my starting right tackle. Like, not something, not the way we thought that they were going to get there, but he did it. So there are different ways to be aggressive. Listen, John Runyon, you think Hunter Renfro's washed. John Runyon washed. Like, good luck. The interior of the Giants offensive line, good luck with that. That's going to be a disaster.
How old is Runyon? He's only been in the league a couple years, right?
Like 25, 26. Yeah, he's fairly.
Runyon, you're not thinking of his dad?
Runyon was bad last year.
Oh, but I thought you meant like he was worn down, like he had nothing left in the tank.
No, he's just bad. He's not good.
Okay.
Yeah, Wild Wave says it. We basically got Morgan Moses for free. That's basically how I feel, and that's why he's number one on ranking all my, you know, the moves that they've made. So
that's such a big piece now that for so many years I thought it was so dumb that you couldn't trade comp picks. Like, it's your damn pick. What does the league care if you trade it? So being able to trade those is big. Which does remind me, Chris. I wanted to talk about the I think it was Chris, right? You sent the rules proposals.
No, I sent those. I had those written out. Yeah. So
yeah, let's touch on those real quick.
Very interesting rule proposals came out today. I'll touch on the non-Jets ones first, and then the one that the Jets actually proposed, because I think they're all pretty interesting. So the Colts proposed a rule to permit a coach to challenge any penalty called on the field inside of 2 minutes. I'm all for it. I'm tired of these ticky-tack penalties inside of 2 minutes. Pace of play, shove it. I don't care. I'd rather you take the extra 90 seconds and go to commercial where we hear whopper, whopper, double whopper, and then you come back and give us the right damn call, and the game moves smoother. Like, I don't know, like something about one play happening and you know, deciding the whole fate of the game is I'm all for this one.
Yeah. Well, and I'll send you the Burger King Whopper Whopper Junior Whopper commercial, and you'll very much understand. Because you watch NFL football this past
Glenn
season.
Doesn't know.
You don't get American commercials.
Right. Well, we did, and you know what we got? We got a lot of Whopper Whopper Double Whopper. Okay, that's what
somebody could be laid out on the field. They're pulling a stretcher out for him. It'll cut to commercial. Whopper Whopper Double Whopper every time.
So I'm in favor of this. The one thing I will say is the pace of play does matter, because look. We got to get things right? We don't need to be the NBA where after, you know, the day after we put out the final 2 minute report and we talk about all the things that we got wrong, but it doesn't really matter because we're not going to change any of the results of the game because of the stuff. Like, no, we got to get things right. But if with all the technology we have, if we can't come to the right decision in 30 or 45 seconds, we got to stay with the call that we made on the field. We got to move on. Like, we are not going to sit here for 4 minutes and look at every blade of grass and every angle. Listen, you got all the cameras, pull them up, everybody look at them, 30, 45 seconds, let's move on.
Yeah. Agreed.
I agree.
All right, cool.
Keep it moving, but get it right.
So the next one here does have to pertain to the Jets. Multiple teams, five total, Cleveland, Detroit, Philadelphia, Washington, and the Jets all proposed the trade deadline to be extended and moved to the Tuesday after week 10 games. Pittsburgh proposed for it to be moved after week 9. So you have six teams in the entire league that want it to be moved. Obviously, the majority want it to be moved 2 weeks. Even if they moved it 1 week, I think my stance on the whole thing still kind of makes sense. I think it's another one that should happen, because now you have teams like, let's say, the Carolina Panthers. I forget what their record was in week 8. It might have been 1-7. They were probably the closest team to being mathematically eliminated, but everybody is still mathematically in it by week 8. If you extend it even 2 more weeks, it gives teams that are, you know, doing poorly that extra chance to be receptive to more trade offers for some of their higher quality players. I can't think of the exact.
The Jets. Go ahead.
No. I couldn't think of the exact like team last year who could have offloaded. Okay, Brian Burns.
Mean teams that are mathematically eliminated first.
Oh yeah, I know. Right. Like, I think it was like week 12 for us last year. But yeah, like the Panthers could have offloaded Brian Burns before the trade deadline. But even still, they had 2 extra weeks now to offload him, and then like, shit, now we're 1-9, not 1-7. We know we're cooked. Might as well take Brian Burns instead of trading him for 39. Overall pick. You could have got 2 ones, but I digress. I think the rule change could actually help a lot more teams and a lot more trades to actually happen at the deadline, because it's been a lot of just boring deadline news recently in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm in for this one. I'm in.
Yeah, I think from the time I became a fan, you know, I was a much bigger baseball fan before I was a football fan, and then once I got into football, and someone explained to me that the trade deadline was like 10 minutes after week 1 kickoff. I was like, what are they doing? Like, what's the point of not being able to make a deal? Like, it's the most physically demanding sport with the most injuries where you're most likely to lose a guy. But if you don't train him by week three, that's it. Like, you know, you got a playoff run and someone gets hurt, too bad. So I'm all for that. I think that'd be a really good idea. One thing I was going to pitch to you guys, I actually was thinking about this, Chris. It never got selected, but I believe I submitted this as a takes on takes, but you know, nothing personal. I won't get upset about
Listen,
that.
Listen, you take it up with the, you take
on.
It, you take it up
on.
With the other two gentlemen. Don't take it
I
up with me.
I can talk
you
about
take
it
up with those two.
But no, seriously, and this is another one along with the trade deadline. For years I've been saying this, and I feel like we only now start hearing about it, about players going, you know, signing with places with lower taxes. My thing, and it's not just because I'm a Jets fan. If I'm a fan of any team, if the whole idea between the salary cap is like parity, fairness, we're all level playing field, why not adjust the cap based on your state's income tax? Like, why should I, if I'm the New England Patriots bidding on a free agent, why should the Houston Texans, we both offer $20 million a year, but the guy's getting more real money by going to Houston because of their state tax situation, that should be leveled off. Because, again, I know we can't change every rule to make everything fair, and like, that's life, suck it up, move on. I get it. But if we have a cap and the whole purpose is for fairness and parity, why not have the cap adjusted based on each team's state tax level? So when I offer a guy $10 million and the Jaguars offer a guy $10 million, that guy's getting the same amount of money at the end of the day, and you're removing one team's advantage.
It's tough, right? I understand the premise, Glenn, and in a capped sport, this is certainly, I think, something that is worth looking at. In baseball, in an uncapped sport, you can spend as much as your heart desires.
Yeah,
listen, so if you want a guy and you want to overpay because you're a team in New York and because you have to do that so he doesn't go to Texas, or he doesn't
option,
go, like, yeah, you have that option. And in football, it's a little different. The problem with it is I don't know how you enforce it. Do you tell teams that are in New York, hey, what's the number this year, 255 and a half? Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just for the example here, say it's 255 and a half. You're going to tell New York teams yours is 300 million. That's where
I'm saying you increase it, but like, you start with a baseline of zero, and whatever you want. Like, if their state tax is 11%, their cap goes up 11%. So now they've got that money that they would spend that would go toward taxes. When, you know, offering a guy 10 million, they can now say, we're going to offer you 11. So that way you're still getting 10. It's a little more out of our pocket, but the Texans don't have the advantage of also offering you 10, but you get to bring more money home.
Yeah, I wondered if there was a way to do it where, like, the money that's allocated for taxes doesn't count against the cap, but then it's just coming more out of the owner's pocket.
Yeah, something like that. Anything like that.
But then owners who are worth more money can, yeah. It feels as if it's got to be very, very specifically written in order for it to not be a loophole that gets used by certain markets and certain teams,
right?
And so, like, I understand the premise, and I think there's some value to it. I just think that would be a very, very specifically worded rule that I just don't know if the NFL is just going to get together and look at that.
Right. And they probably have explored it at some point, you know, when the numbers were a lot smaller, obviously. But I feel like they've probably explored trying to be more fair with it. But it's probably hard at the end of the day. And they probably just said, you know what, we got to just keep it as is.
You know who could fix it? Vice President Rogers.
No, I'm not doing this. I'm done. That's it. I'm done.
That's right. Get
it's
in there.
I'm done on the show today. Goodbye, everybody.
That's it for tonight, folks. We're going to wrap this one up. I'm Glenn Naughton for Dylan Terman, Chris Schubert. Thanks for tuning in. Hopefully some more news in the coming days for the Jets. Let's get a receiver in here. Let's get a left tackle and enter that draft in the driver's seat, able to pick whoever you want in the end. Have a good one, Jets fans.